I'm pleased to talk to Tansy Curtin of Art Gallery of South Australia about an exhibition of Mary Adelaide Kind's portrait currently on display at the Art Gallery of South Australia, AXA. Tansy, welcome to SBS French.
Thank you for having me. It's wonderful to be here.
This is something that's exciting for us, actually having a Belgian artist and her work displayed at AXA. How did this acquisition of Mary Adelaide Kind's full-length portrait of a woman in a landscape come about, and what significance does it hold for AXA?
Well, it's lovely that you mentioned that. It is a really important work. It's a very large work, so it's very grand. And if you come to AXA to see the work, she's such a beautiful portrait and holds her space on that wall incredibly well. Now, Mary Adelaide, or Adele as she was known, is probably not a household name today. Not many people would know who she is as an artist, but she's a very important Belgian artist. She studied under a woman, Sophie Frémier. Frémier actually studied under Jacques-Louis David, who, of course, many people would know, David being the great neoclassical French painter who left France after the revolution and ended up in Belgium. So we have this wonderful kind of history of neoclassicism from David's school through his students, Frémier, and then to Adele Kind. And what we see in Kind's work is this wonderful sense of neoclassicism. So looking back at Greco-Roman work and that realism that we see in that work, but bringing a new sort of romanticism to it. So that landscape in the back of the painting gives a real sense of this new wave of romantic art that we see coming at the time. It is a really important acquisition for us because, as you say, a Belgian artist, it's a pretty small little country. It's pretty wonderful, but a really important acquisition for us in terms of our collection because it's not a great strength. So this adds a real kind of robustness to our collection in this area.
Can you provide some insights into the life and career of Marie Adele or Marie Adelaide? And why her work is particularly important to showcase at AXA?
Like I said, she's probably not an artist you would know particularly well, but she was very, very highly regarded in Brussels in the sort of first decades of the 19th century. So our painting is painted in 1829. It's really that period where we start seeing quite significant changes past the Napoleonic era in Europe. And she's exhibited at the salons in Brussels and elsewhere in Europe from quite a young age. She was known to be a very accomplished and prolific artist, but sadly, like so many women, and particularly women artists, she's been forgotten over time. So this is a great opportunity for us to reclaim her, to bring her amazing work out and show it. And it also talks to this period in the rest of the Art Gallery of South Australia's collection. We have a really strong collection of 19th century portraiture from Britain and other parts of Europe. But this really gives another, string to our bow in terms of talking about the collection.
You just mentioned rare work by a female artist. How do you think the acquisition of Kind's work will enhance AXA's representation of significant female artists from all over the world, especially from the 19th century, which is your specialty, actually?
It's very true. I mean, I think, you know, we've been actively looking here at AXA to augment our collection of work by women artists. It has traditionally not been an area of great strength across the world, to be honest. I think most museums and galleries in the world recognize that they have not actively but been collecting works by women artists for too long. And so it's really important that we redress this issue. The majority of students who actually finish art school are women, and it has been the case since the 19th century. So there's a real disconnect between what's being acquired from museums or has been in the past and the actual artists in the community making art. So this work is a really ambitious work. It is life-size. It is full-scale portrait of this glamorous young woman who is the epitome of fashion. And she's wearing the wonderful gigot sleeves, what in English we call the leg of mutton sleeves, which is less glamorous than gigot, of course. She is in beautiful taffeta dress, sitting in the landscape. And it's a very powerful portrait of a woman by a woman. So I think it will have a very strong role to play in the gallery's collection.
Coming back again to emphasize on what you just told us, What makes Kin's portrayal of Mademoiselle DM unique, especially in terms of depicting a confident and fashionable young woman in the early 19th century?
It is a really engaging and powerful portrait. And I think the great power comes from the expression of the sitter. She is shown as an empowered young woman. She's obviously Mademoiselle, so she's unmarried. She looks to be in her sort of late teens, so she's quite a young woman. But the way she actually gazes out of the canvas back at us is a very bold kind of, not aggression, but a statement of her own power and understanding of her role in society.
You mentioned it's a rare piece of art. What challenges did AXA face in acquiring this particular painting, and how was the James and Diana Ramsey Fund, how did they get involved, and how instrumental were they in acquiring this piece of art? You kind of mentioned it, but can you tell us a little bit more about that aspect?
You know, part of my job here at AXA is to look at really important major acquisitions for our international collection. Obviously, we are here in Australia, so our Australian and our First Nations collections are really pivotal to what we acquire. But in terms of acquiring international works, it's major pieces that talk to what we have or actually express something that's not available in the collection. So when this work was available for sale in Europe, it's, as I said, a very large work. And it's quite a challenge now after COVID. Freight has become very challenging for international artworks. So working towards negotiating on that was, you know, something that we have to work through, and having the James and Diana Ramsey Fund to be able to give us that capacity to buy a major work for the collection, a really important, significant work that will go on display and stay on display. It'll play a really important role in the gallery's collection. One of the other things that I need to do as a curator is also look at the history of a work of art. And so I need to look at its provenance, where it's come from, whose collection it's been in, and where it's been for the last nearly 200 years. So out of that research and investigating to make sure that when we acquire a work of art, it has a really good provenance, it has a really good story, and we can actually, you know, be free to know that we're acquiring it with no encumbrances.
The decision to put it in Gallery 12, can you tell us about more, because you mentioned it earlier, I think, and I'd like to know more about how it connects with the ancient Roman marble sculptures and other works on display there.
Gallery 12 in our gallery is actually dedicated to classicism and neoclassicism, so it felt like a really great connection to place this incredible painting that pays homage to the classical world amongst Greco-Roman sculptures, but also other artists who are looking back to Greek and Roman art. And of course, there are so many periods in history where artists and societies have looked back to the incredible accomplishments of Greece and Rome. And of course, we think about things like even the Renaissance era. The Renaissance is very much about looking back at classical humanism. We see that repeated in the late 18th, early 19th century, where we have the wonderful period of the kind of Georgian period, which is very much looking back at the classical period as well. We see it in fashion, we see it in art, we see this new kind of realism, but also humanity coming through. And that's one of the fundamentals of this period is it's really highlighting the role of an individual's humanity and their role within a collective society. And I think when we see something like Adele Kint's work, she's highlighting this young woman and giving her a really individual treatment. We know that it's a very accurate portrait, but she's also talking about her within a grander, you know, aspect of the landscape. So she's out in the wide world, as it were, as opposed to being in a kind of closeted interior. So it connects really beautifully with those ancient Greek and Roman stories.
And in what ways do you hope this exhibition will inspire visitors, particularly regarding the themes of classicism, romanticism, and the evolving representation of women in art?
You know, you've really captured it there. I think one of the great things that art can do is it can make us think about who we are, where we are in society, where society has been, and where it's going. And I think that's one of the wonderful powers of art across, you know, many hundreds of years. We see these fundamental themes that artists and people continue to engage with because they're something that's fundamental to us as human beings. And I think that's a really core, important thing about what we're doing as curators and as an art gallery here, is to really help people connect with themselves through art. So works like this wonderful painting by Adele Kint will really help us see that we are all humans. Even 200 years ago, we all had the same interests and passions and concerns about the world around us, just as the Greeks and Romans did. So it's a very kind of equalizing way to look at the world.
Before I let you go, anything you'd like to add to the conversation that I may have missed and you think it's really important for our listeners to know about this exhibition?
Well, I think the wonderful thing about art is we can all take different things from it. So, you know, I encourage people to go and spend some time with their favorite works of art, or even works of art maybe they don't understand or don't like quite so much, because this is the chance to really make ourselves think about art and the world. And this incredible portrait is a very beautiful work. So immediately it draws us in and makes us want to look at it. But it also gives us the opportunity to think about the context in which it was painted, the world in which Adele Kint lived and this wonderful model lived, who one day we might know her name, and to think about what it was like in Brussels at the time, the artistic world, the kind of cultural turmoil that was still happening in Europe post the French Revolution, Napoleonic Wars. And so it's a real opportunity to think about the human side, but also the art historical and more generally social history side as well.
Tansi Kati, thank you very much for taking the time to talk to us on SBS French today.
You're very welcome. Au revoir.
Au revoir et à très bientôt.